If you've been teaching your entire career and you've been perfecting that craft, that does not mean that you can teach online. It's a different skill set. And so I think everyone is really accepting that and realizing, okay, this is different. And even though I'm an expert in my field, I'm not an expert in that. So I think that what we've at least seen from our clients and new clients is educators are saying, we want to learn, we want help. We realize that, you know, it's different. You can't just get online and lecture. It's not going to work.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Digital to Learn. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Oh, hello.
Today, we have the exciting opportunity to speak with Katie Egan of CourseArc. Katie started CourseArc in 2015 with Bethany Meyer. CourseArc is a content authoring and management tool that facilitates the collaborative creation of engaging and accessible online learning. Katie is a Maryland native and received her BA degree in history and education and MA degree in instructional design from UMBC. When Katie isn't working, she is most likely running or watching her girls play basketball or enjoying a quiet moment listening to a record on vinyl. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Glad you're here.
We became familiar with Katie's work at a recent Sidelight conference, and we're really excited that she agreed to be on the show with us. We're going to kick it off today with some getting to know you questions. We have some fun ones planned. I'll take the first question. Katie, what is your favorite Olympic sport?
Okay, so this one is really easy. I love swimming. So I grew up swimming, doing nothing too competitive. Summer swim team as a child, so did my kids. And I love the sport. I think it's one of the few sports that's both multi-gender and multi-aged. Mm-hmm. It's really a team sport. And I'm from Maryland, and so Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps are Maryland natives. Katie Ledecky actually went to the same grade school that I went to. She goes to the same church as my mom, which my mom talks about all the time. So it's just kind of fun. Whenever they're swimming in the Olympics, there's always like an excitement in the air around here. So yeah, swimming for sure.
Wow.
So what is the competitive lifespan of a swimmer? Like, how late can people be competitively swimming?
So that's a great question. I think, for a summer swim team, you know, if you're not planning to go to college and do the Katie and Michael route, most of the times the kids give up around 18. Mm-hmm. But I think you can swim until you're, is it Dara? I can't remember her last name, but there was, I think, one woman who was swimming when she was 36. She was in the Olympics. Wow. So I think if you stay in shape, you can definitely do it through your 20s.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, next question. One or two of your favorite memes or hashtags for 2020?
Oh, so I would have to say that I really have loved the memes that are about what were your plans for 2020 versus the reality. I know there's like a few different varieties that have gone around. I think, you know, out of all of those, my favorite is the monthly calendar where some of the celebrities started, you know, how you looked in January, you know, February, you know, March. So those are my favorite. You know, if you can't laugh at what's happened, you know, you're not gonna make it through.
So have you been working from home during this span of time?
I have. Our company has always been remote. I do have an office, but I don't normally go there. I mean, I go there just, you know, maybe once a week. This is pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, there hasn't been much of a change to kind of, you know, like my workplace and all of that. Mm-hmm. But there has been a big change with having my children home.
Yes.
That would make a difference.
We understand.
Yeah.
All right. Question three is just true or false. I never judge a book by its cover.
Oh, I'm going to have to be honest and say false. I try to be really open-minded, mm-hmm. but I'm human. So I try really, really hard, but sometimes I do.
Yeah.
I think that's true of all of us.
All of us. Yeah. I don't know what kind of question that is, huh?
This is by far my favorite question, and you'll know why in a few minutes. What is the last record you purchased?
So the last record that I purchased, which was actually just about 3 weeks ago, was Gaslighter by formerly the Dixie Chicks. Now they're known as the Chicks.
Oh, okay.
I have a pretty eclectic music taste, and my sister and a couple of friends had recommended this to me. My younger sister, I feel like I kind of missed the Dixie Chicks in the 90s, but my younger sister loved them. So she recommended it. And then I have two teenage daughters that are huge Taylor Swift fans. And they recently, I can't remember when it came out, but they saw the documentary that she did, mm-hmm. Miss Americana. And so now they know who the Dixie Chicks are. So it's been interesting. They've been asking me all these questions, you know, do you remember when this happened? I'm like, oh yeah. So it's been interesting having them kind of express interest in their story and their history.
So tell us the story behind your attraction to vinyl.
I mean, when I was really little, we had a record player, but I missed all of that. So I never had albums growing up. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, cassette tapes and then CDs. I missed all of that. But I always loved music. So I would, you know, I was kind of an anomaly. I saved my babysitting money and I would go to the record store and buy, but I was buying, you know, a CD or a cassette tape. So I really missed that whole process of buying music when everything went digital and looking at the artwork and seeing if the lyrics were inside and reading the lyrics. So I finally, you know, broke down probably about 4 years ago and was like, I'm going to get a record player and just, you know, see. And at the same time, I mean, albums had started to make a comeback and you were seeing them. So it's just fun. It's just a little hobby.
How cool.
And as you described that, I was reminiscing, thinking back to, I was raised in a record or vinyl era, and I'd forgotten about things like cover notes and mm-hmm. liner information and just all of those things that makes it a more complete experience. Yeah. So thank you for that reminder. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think I love an album, a great album, and it's hard. My kids don't really get it. You know, mm-hmm. they just know a song. So I'm trying to get them into it, and I'm having a little bit of success with that.
And what's the sound difference?
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. I can tell the difference. My kids actually can too. So there's just no comparison.
Interesting.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool.
I feel like we need a segue to a song right now, but I didn't have anything prepared.
have your sound engineer. They can do,
yes,
you know, do a little
add later. Mike, can you add that later?
A few people know this, but Tiffany does the greatest Taylor Swift impression. Why don't you do it now?
Brad, excuse me. I do not.
Do you really?
That's fake. I do not. Okay. No.
I was like, I want to hear this.
Yeah, so do I. All right, we're going to switch over to that digital world. What is it that you're watching right now on Netflix?
So I have two to share. So one that I just finished was The Last Dance, which I don't know if you guys are a sports fan,
but yes.
it's the documentary about Michael Jordan. I love that. I mean, I can't say I was a huge Michael Jordan fan, mm-hmm. but I remember the shoes and all of that. And it was really fascinating to mm-hmm. me, just how his whole relationship with Nike, which I didn't really understand any of that. So I thought that was mm-hmm. interesting. And then I'm also watching Ozarks, but so don't say anything though, cause I'm way behind everyone else. I'm only in season two. But so far I love the characters, mm-hmm. the cast. I think I think it's a great show.
So. There are three seasons of that and then they stop. Is that the last one?
I think there's three seasons. Okay. So I'm in season two.
Okay. So. Well, let me tell you what happened at the end of, no.
<It's> like, no.
We know that you started your career as a teacher. We did some homework. How did your experiences as a teacher lead you to develop and launch CourseArc? And then from that question, what is CourseArc?
Great. So I was a high school teacher. I also taught as an adjunct at two different colleges way back when I was younger. And I think the biggest thing is if you have that experience of teaching in a traditional face-to-face classroom, you realize, you know, there's so many differences to online. So if you're in a classroom, there's a lot of opportunity to give the students verbal, nonverbal feedback. I mean, just think about how much context a teacher adds when they're, you know, for example, passing out a worksheet. You know, there's all these things that are said.
What were you teaching, by the way?
So I taught in high school, I taught social studies. So I would teach world history, and then every year I would teach a bunch of electives. So it was kind of like, you know, we need a psychology teacher. Who can do that? So I taught psychology and law, a bunch of different things. So so that was kind of fun. The electives were fun because they were seniors and it wasn't quite as serious as, you know, the courses that have the tests.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing I was going to say is just there's these personal connections and relationships that you build with children, well, and adult learners. And it just happens naturally in a classroom environment. You know, you talk to them before class, after the bell rings, you know, you talk to them if there's a fire drill or you see them in lunch. And so I think, you know, when you're teaching online, it's just, and then you have both of those experiences, you realize that it's just a completely different ball game. Mm-hmm. And you have to be really strategic in how you plan that. So you have to create a plan to account for those gaps. So, you know, one of the things is feedback is really critical in the online environment because you're not able to see the student at all. So when I hear about programs that are going online with 100% lecturing, I cringe. Mm. So we, you know, all of this knowledge, you know, we use this, we built CourseArc, and we really wanted to have a product that was based on what's best for students and instruction. And we didn't want it to be about the technology. We wanted anyone to get in, be able to use our product to create great content and not have to worry about learning a new tool. Mm. So we wanted to create something that for teachers who we think are the ones that should be creating the content. So we were very purposeful, I should say, in how we built it. So we have several different activity types that have formative assessments that provide students instant feedback. And a lot of them allow for custom feedback based on the question. So, you know, the way I explain it to people when I'm talking about instructional design is, you know, you might have a math teacher who's giving a practice quiz. And one of the questions is, what is 4 cubed? And one of the answer choices is 12. And so when they're going over the test and, you know, who put 12? That's wrong. Let's talk about why it's wrong. You know, you did 4 times 3 instead of 4 times 4 times 4. Those are the misconceptions that are really important that you clarify. Mm-hmm. So we tried to really make sure that our system would support giving the same clarification. You know, so if you build that question in CourseArc, you can give custom feedback for that answer because you know why they got it wrong. You can make some assumptions. Another thing is just think of a video clip. You know, if you're in the classroom, hopefully, if you're a good teacher, you're not just hitting play. But hopefully you're saying, you know, you're doing the setup, right? Just like you guys did today. You're doing the setup. You're telling them, this is what I want you to look for. And then possibly you're pausing 10 minutes in to ask them questions or have them write something down. So we really also tried to build that in, that you can build content on a page that's going to allow you to mix different things. Kids can watch a video and then they can answer based on what's in the video. And then, you know, in terms of those personal connections, I think you can build those. You know, you can use discussion forums and other things. I've, you know, with my own kids going online, I mean, some of their favorite days have been when the teacher's like, you know, bring your pet into the Zoom meeting. I mean, everyone loves that. So, and we try to put our money where our mouth is. So we also try to do that as a company, you know, so we use Slack for communication. We have a pets channel. We have a recipe channel. We do actually at our monthly meeting ask, we pick different people to share their favorite album. And so it's just a way for everyone to feel less isolated, especially now, and feel like they're part of a team. So that's really, CourseArc came out of our need or our want to really create a better product for students, for student learning.
Excellent. So what kind of impact do you see that having across the span of higher ed, that kind of thinking?
Well, I think, you know, you have some organizations, both K-12 and higher ed, wherever, you know, that have invested prior to COVID in online learning. And they have not just invested in online learning, but they've invested in instructional design. They might have partnered with someone like Quality Matters and really put a process in place to vet online courses. And so those people, I think, just were able to really flip the switch and do very, very well. Then you have other folks that just, you know, in March just had no idea what to do. And so there was what we kind of experienced was there was this wait and see. You know, we don't know if it's going to be 2 weeks that we're online. We don't know if it's going to be a month. We're just going to wait and see. And we're going to try to triage everything. And there were a lot of failures. A lot of parents were upset. Students were upset. You know, there's just been lots of rumblings. Why are we paying all this money? And so what we're really, you know, encouraging them is, hey, you know, you can still create a really great experience online. Yes, it might not be the same as spending your, you know, freshman year on campus, but you can still create a great experience, but you have to really plan for that. And I mean, the biggest thing I think that we've seen that people are starting to acknowledge is if you've been teaching your entire career and you've been perfecting that craft, that does not mean that you can teach online. It's a different skill set.
Absolutely.
And so I think everyone is really accepting that and realizing, okay, this is different. And even though I'm an expert in my field, I'm not an expert in that. So I think that what we've at least seen from our clients and new clients is educators are saying, we want to learn, we want help. We realize that, you know, it's different. Can't just get online and lecture. It's not going to work.
So when someone becomes a client of CourseArc, what can they expect? Is CourseArc an LMS or is it something that supplements a learning management system?
So we are not an LMS. We consider ourselves a content authoring and a content management tool. So the learning management system, you know, that organizes your classes and your grades and your students and can send out alerts, but our product integrates with the LMS. So you can create your content in CourseArc and then embed it. And then if for whatever reason, you know, you change your LMS, you can just redeploy your content. You don't need to do anything to migrate it.
That's awesome.
So when a client comes on, for the most part, I mean, we are looking to be a solution for an organization. You know, our product is built for an organization. It's not built for individuals. So, you know, what we're trying to do is create supports that the organization can harness. So, you know, things like templates that they can use and sample modules. You might build, you know, you might build a model lesson that demonstrates great instructional design. Maybe you're working with like a Psych 101 teacher, and then you can deploy that and share that with every faculty member. You might create a student orientation that every teacher can pull in. So what we're really about is allowing the organization to have consistency in their, you know, their content, make it standardized and enable them to customize the theming, the branding. So the teacher can get in, or the faculty member who's building content, and just focus on that, which is building their content.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. And there's nothing worse than getting in one course where you have an incredible experience, the outline for the course is effective, the visuals are great, and then your next course is completely different. So I like that you're targeting the organization as a whole and not just individuals.
Right. Yeah.
This is the first of our two episodes with Kate Egan. We hope you'll come back and join us for the second half of this exciting conversation. Thanks for being with us.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. 1, come back and join us again. 2, tell your friends about us. And 3, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.